chanting the Holy Ghost. Ah, 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 ah. We're chanting the Holy Ghost. Ah, 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 ah. We're singing the Holy Ghost. Ah, ah, ah. We shout in the Holy Ghost. Ah, ah, ah. We chant in the Holy Ghost. Ah, ah, ah. We shout in the Holy Ghost. Ah, ah, ah. Brothers and sisters, your life will never remain the same again. Wow. Please celebrate the grace of God. Our brother that led us in the worship. Dear Lord Jesus, my spirit was so charged. God bless you. Thank you so much for yielding to the Lord. Were you blessed? That was an amazing ministration. I want to honor and salute the national president and his vice. I didn't know he was around in the morning. Come on, that can be louder. I salute the regional president and his leadership. Is that how you celebrate your leader? It's such an honor to be here to minister to many youths who are genuinely hungry for the Lord. Tonight, I want to do a teaching on spiritual warfare. There's no dominion without warfare. We win by warring. And every time you want to verify the authenticity of your dominion, it is in battle. And so tonight, we are not just going to teach, but it will be an emancipation campaign. Many people that have been held bound and held captive will break out of yokes and things will turn around for good. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen! My friends are here. Pastor Ephraim and his friend, thank you so much. Celebrate grace. I came with my friend and my brother, Pastor Owina Sunday. We've known ourselves and we've been close friends for 18 years. When you begin to journey to certain levels in life, God will need to bring faithful men around you. 18 years is not a joke. It's one man I trust the most in this life. And by the grace of God, we labor together, travel around everywhere, and the Lord is doing a great work. Thank you so much. God bless you. Meanwhile, if you have a wireless mic, you can carry maybe one or two. Once in a while, the songs pop up. So running and coming will be a distraction for you. So you reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O fountains of the deep. Cry out, Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign. You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh,
Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign. You ancient Zion's King.
Kadosh, Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
Kadosh,
you are mighty on your throne. You reign,
you reign, you reign.
You
reign, you
reign,
you reign.
You reign, you reign,
you reign. You reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, you reign, you reign. Kadosh, Kadosh.
You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you reign, Zion King.
Kadosh, Kadosh.
You are mighty on your throne.
Mighty on your throne.
You are mighty on your throne.
You reign, you reign. Father, thank you for tonight. We give you praise, we give you glory, because many will step into their dominion tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated for a moment. I will read from your anchor scripture, and then I will go back and build the foundation. Then we will return to the scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. I have a burden to communicate functional truth to you in this conference that you would apply and see the results in your life. My goal in this conference is not just to set you on fire, stir the atmosphere. We can do that in the last 5 minutes. The easiest thing to do is to stir an atmosphere. But truth must be communicated. Truth must be communicated. And people must carry them, walk with them, in order to have dominion in life. So he said, finally, my brethren. He had taught them about the dynamics of salvation. He had shown them the advantages that they have with Christ Jesus. He opened Ephesians chapter 1 by revealing to them the riches that they had in Christ, which was locked in the heavenly places. And from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 to verse 11, he began to show the eternal purpose of God. What God had in mind. How that God, before the foundation of the world, separated us to be holy unto him and to be accepted in the beloved. How that God gave us an inheritance that even though we lost to sin, in atonement, we were restored into that dominion. He continued by showing them that at the end of all things, both in heaven and on earth, will be gathered together in Christ Jesus as one. And then he went further to even tell them that all that Jesus has done for us in the Holy Ghost, that's verse 13, is secured for us, that the Holy Ghost is our seal. Verse 3 tells us about our riches. Verse 4 tells us how that we were separated before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, 6, 7 tells us how that through the redemptive work of Christ, we were restored to the beloved. Verse 10 tells us how that at the end in Christ, all things will be gathered. Verse 13 reveals to us how that the Holy Ghost will seal those things and keep it for us. And he didn't stop there. From verse 17, he went again to pray for the church that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened to see the riches that they had in Christ. The exceeding greatness of power that the church had. So he showed them all the advantages in Christ. And he didn't stop there. He went into verse 2 to show them the dynamics of salvation given to them by grace, but appropriated through faith. He went further to show them how they needed to walk in this salvation that they had received. And he went to chapter 3. He began to show us. Now, in Ephesians 1 to Ephesians 4, he gave us the advantage, the whole advantage that the believer had. So when he came, it will take my time. That's why I truncated. When he came to chapter 6, verse 10, he now said, finally, my brethren, I know you have all the advantages in Christ Jesus. I know you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I know that all that you need has already been given to you. But finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. That means you can have all things, but the ability to stand is predicated upon your warfare. I know you are born again. I know you have grace. I know you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. I know all things are yours. But brother, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the day of battle. And then he went further to let us know that in this kingdom we are not alone. They are foreign entities. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Many are not aware that we are in warfare. They think life is funfair, and they can talk their way into victory. You will be a big joke. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Because if you faint in the day of trouble, it's not because your God is weak. It's because your own strength is little. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word is be energized in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the Greek translation, it means to be energio in the Christos and in the iskus of his kratos. It means to receive energy from God, an energy that is not just dormant, but first of all, dynamic. That's kratos. The light you are seeing is a product of the labor of the generator. The light is not there by coincidence. This is dynamic power. But dynamic power is a product of potential power. This light was first of all a potential in the generator. So when you receive strength, you are expected to bring out dynamic power. And secondly, we talk about iskus. Iskus is synergistic power. You must know how to harness the advantages that you have in the spirit. That is what it constitutes to be strong in the Lord. Because if you are not, he said there are principalities. They are rulers of the darkness of this world. And and I will explain that to you so you will know the meaning of living and God. The rulers of the darkness of this world. So when a man engages and begins to fraternize the darkness, he comes to that spiritual rulers. Spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, when we teach, we say we are in a league of spirits. People think we just want to say the esoteric or mystic. Before I deal with this scripture, journey with me to Job chapter 1, verse 6. I want to show you the foundation of warfare. The book of Job is the first book in the Bible. And the first book in the Bible did not begin with a fairy tale, it began with warfare. Because this life is not a warfare, it's a warfare. The first inspirational book of scripture is the book of Job. And it is characterized by warfare from the beginning to the end. That's what life is. And this is what many. Present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came upon them. Because as they walk through the visible realm, again and again, they return before the monarch to explain their operation. And if you read this scripture, you are going to hear the testimony of Satan that he moved through the earth. So they came to bring report of what they were doing. And amazingly, Satan was there. The sons of God are preparing to hear and not there. They are the angelic forces that God has deployed into the universe that he has created. I show you from scripture. Are you ready to join it? Or what I'm sharing, is it too mystical? Okay, let me think about grace. Let me teach grace. And I do double and oh. Oh, Joe do double and oh. Oh, he mean he. Apata ke bete. And I do double and oh. Oh, Joe do double and oh. Oh, he mean he. Apata ke bete. You will be distracted. Just sit down and listen. Just listen. Carry one microphone there. Attacking beauty. As I'm teaching, my garments will be coming on me. When I'm fully clothed, then we'll start fighting. That's what I'm doing. I'm not doing Bible study. As I'm teaching, my garments will be coming. Weapons will be coming from heaven. When I'm clothed, that time we can fight. Even if I sing that time, the power of God will begin to happen. And I do double and oh. Ojo do double and oh. Oh, he mean eh. Akwata ke bete. It's better to be an intercessor than to be a preacher. Because if you can't fight in the spirit, you have no message for your generation. We are not talkers. We are communicators of spiritual verities. Hey. And I do double and oh. Ojo do double and oh. Oh, he mean it. Akwata ke bete. Sit down. He said the sons of God. In the Old Testament, where this scripture was used, it was used for angelic beings. There are three arguments and philosophies about this scripture. The first philosophy is that these are angels. The second philosophy is that these are mighty rulers in old times. And the third philosophy is that they are the sons of Seth, who are of the pure breed from Adam, that got married to the daughters of men. But when you study by context, you study by historical background, you will discover that the last two are not good. show you, because I want to show you the origin of warfare. So you will know that it's not a joke. The beings you are fighting, they live in heaven before. They know the ways of God. So you will know how to shield your vessel from them and have victory in life. In Genesis chapter 6, from verse 1, he used the same phrase for this scripture. He said, the sun, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. So he clearly highlighted men as men. Men were designated as men. And I will show you many other scriptures that reveal the sons of Adam as the children of Adam, not the sons of God. He said, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, daughters were born to them. He went further and said that, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And he said, they went into them and took them and as wives. They chose those people as wives. And he said, they gave birth to giants. The people they call giants, if you see them, you will know that they are products of perversion. Some of them were as tall as 300 feet. This building is not up to 12 feet. So imagine what 300 feet is. They were as huge as 300 feet. Some of them were as tall as 100 feet. Some of them were as tall as 50 feet tall. He said they gave birth. He said in those days, there were giants on the face of the earth. This was why wickedness multiplied on the earth. Because the level of wickedness that came into the earth at that time was a product of perversion. It was beyond what men could think. This is why God had to wipe the earth. It was not just judgment. There was no law against marrying them at that time. And number two, even those who sin, we know that God didn't write the law. He took something more terrible that happened that would put that level of judgment, that God would wipe them out. Those children that were called the sons of God could not be the sons of Cain. Because if you read Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, he said, Cain knew his wife. Adam knew his wife again. And he gave birth to a son. He called his name Seth. Genesis chapter 5 from verse 1. They began to outline the genealogy of Adam. See what the Bible says. In Genesis 5 verse 1. He said, Adam gave birth to a son. He called him Seth. The son was in. Were of the image of man. The likeness of man. Only Adam. And you cannot be born of a woman. Because you are of man. When you are giving birth to. Even if your father was a eunuch. If you are right to a child, he will die and go to hell. Unless he gives his heart to Christ. Because there is no such graduation from humanity to deity in natural birth. It was obliterated the day Adam fell. Salvation to go to heaven. Because when you were a man, you would have been holy and you would have been saved. But men cannot become the son of God. Born again in Christ Jesus. So if you are not born again in Christ Jesus, you can never be called the sons of God. The only people who are sons of God today, apart from the angels that have that title, are born again in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. So the argument that the sons of Seth were the sons of God is not true. Because if they were, they wouldn't have needed salvation to be saved. So long as you need salvation to be saved, then you are a son of a man in the likeness of a man. deity can never be ascribed to him. Now, why were they conscious of God? Judge them. God judge them. Angels don't matter. Neither are they given a time. They say at the resurrection, we will be like the angels. Never not be married or given in marriage. So when the angels came to marry the daughters of men, what they did was that they violated the law. Spared them and invoke the wrath of God. Every time there is perversion, the judgment of God is operating. And in our generation today, where men are talking with animals, is another form of perversion. It will also be a judgment that will require absolute defeat from the face of God. People said, it's not possible. Some people even say, no angels came from heaven at any time. They have not studied their scripture as well. In Revelation chapter 12, from verse 7, the Bible said there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angel fought the great dragon. And he said, that is Satan. And he said, they cast him out of heaven because there was no more place for him. And they didn't cast him from heaven to the spirit realm. They say, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the great deceiver has come. So angels have been falling from heaven. That was not the first time. But there are two categories of angelic beings that were judged in this order. The angels that fought with Michael were from heaven, and they came into the earth. These are the angels that created the systems of the world. These angels that took the daughters of men, what God did with them was that He bound them in everlasting chain. So this is what I'm roaming about. In Job chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible said the angels that did not keep their first estate, God has bound them in everlasting chains, in darkness, in the bottomless pit. These angels are not permitted to roam about. So these angels have been bound, waiting for judgment. So three things happened on the face of the earth that provoke warfare. The first was the fall of the great dragon with his angel. They came to the earth and they said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Those were the ones that created systems. So when you read Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 18, those are the beings he's talking about. When they came into this world, they took over the civilization of this world and they created systems. The reason is because the motivation of that angel from heaven was to create his own system in heaven. So when he was cast to the earth, he came to systematize the world. The idea behind system did not come from God. I will show you from scripture. This is why when you go into all the world, your job is not to become like the world, is to disciple the world and bring them into the kingdom. Every idea behind systematization is to woo you to a slave. Jude verse 6 said they are bound in everlasting chains. Now, the son that they gave birth to, when the world was destroyed, they were wiped out. But they did not have a peace because God did not make an occasion for them. This is why in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, they say, when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, moves about in desolate places, looking for. He was created to be the body. When God wiped out the head, what happened was that disembodied. And that's why the theory of demons is that they are disembodied spirits. So every time a demon lives without a body, it becomes torment. So what demons look for is what is where they will live. So when a demon is cast out of a body, because they have their own body. In fact, the Bible said they can take upon themselves the garment of light. But they have body. The ones that need body, the ones that were in their body, they thought, which was their offspring. So what they look for now is that they will possess. So you have who were product of intercourse between angels and men, and then you have fallen angels who choose to create systems to enslave men. And then you have other angels who are bound in everlasting chain. This is the foundation of warfare. The problem with demons is that when they possess you, they infect you with their power. This is why you don't know the name of any demon. Demons are identified by their power. So when a demon of lust possesses a man, the way you know is that the man begins to seek all forms of sexual perversion, because it is a demon trying to live out his character through that man. When a demon of death possesses a man, you call it an unclean spirit. Only deathly environment appeals to the man, because when the demon possesses a man, he lives out his character. So beyond advice, that man needs that spirit. So, warring against demons is the exercise of authority to cast them out. The lowest step of spiritual warfare is using the provisions of Jesus to cast out demons from men. And the reason is because they didn't have the right over those men in the first place. Their judgment was that they were disembodied when the world was destroyed. The spirits that were born by men, they already have destination. Only demons move about in dry places because they were not part of divine agenda. So they keep seeking men to possess. When a principality, on the other hand, comes to a place because his goal is not a body, what it looks for is systems. Genesis chapter 4. I want to show you some things before I begin to show you how to fight. A lot of people say, most of the demonic things are lies. That's why there are people always in captivity. They come to church well dressed and well packaged, but go to them in secret, they are dirty. Because they are slaves, they don't know what to do. Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. See what the Bible says. When Cain was judged and driven to the face of God, he now journeyed. Go to verse 17. Genesis 4:17. I want you to write these scriptures. Go and read them. I don't have time to say a lot of things. And if I say a lot of things here, it may not go too well. No, go to 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Cain went out. Adam was still in God's presence. He was not in Eden, but he was in God's presence. But Cain, the Bible said, he went out. So the influence of God left the life of Cain. So everything Cain began to do was to bet systems, was to bet institutions. Because the idea that powered Cain was an ability to be able to survive apart from God. If you study Genesis 4:25, The children that came out of Adam, they were pioneering altars. Cain was pioneering systems. Because the children of Adam were looking for how to survive by God. They still dependent on God. But Cain wanted to learn how to live without God. So everything God offered, Cain wanted to create it externally. That's the idea behind systematization. System, the idea behind system is independence. Ability to live apart from God, not requiring the government of God to rule your life. So everything God can give you, you can get it without God. This is what Cain began to pioneer. And this Cain pioneering this order had stepped out from the presence of God. If you go to verse 18, he said he knew his wife and he began to give birth to children. From verse 19, the Bible told us what the children of Cain began to do. He said, and Lamech took unto him two wives. This is where polygamy began from. He took two wives. One of them was Ada. The other was Zillah. Go forward and see what happened. And Ada bare Jabba. And he was the father of Sot that dwelt in tents. Do you see why every time the focus of a church becomes building and not men, they depart from God? Because tent making was not primarily God's idea. Do we need tents? Yes. But before we build tents, we must build men. If you have not built men and your focus becomes tent, something goes wrong. You fall under the order of this guy. They began to create tents. Meanwhile, when God created Adam, Adam dwelt in God's presence. Hope you know that when Israel left Egypt, it was the presence of God that was their building. The Bible said the Lord went after them as a pillar of cloud by day and as a pillar of fire by night. So the way they were able to manage the cold in the night was the fire that came with them. The way they were able to manage the heat in the day was the pillar of cloud. But here is another intelligence that you can live without God. This is what they were pioneering. They were being inspired by spirits. As you proceed, I will show you how every civilization you know is an architect of spiritual intelligence. No civilization is a product of human intelligence. Man was created to depend on spirits. So as you walk this world, you must realize that you are an ambassador on the earth. This world is not your home. You came here to win the people back to your own kingdom. If you live here thinking this is the world and you get lost in the luxury and the comfort and the pleasure of this world, it's a friendship with the world. It's enmity with God. The reason is because the world is an architecture of other spirits apart from God. Go forward to verse 21. And his brother's name was Juba. He was the father of them that handled harps and organs. Do you see why I was telling them in the morning that playing keyboard is not about skill? It's about finding the sound of God in your spirit. If you have not found that sound in your spirit and you depend on skill, this is your order. Not too long, it will become about money. They want to call you, say, how much will they pay you? Not too long, it will become about fashion and style. Not too long, it will end in immorality. Have you seen most of our music ministers? They think they are stars that come to perform. They don't know that they are ministers of the gospel. So when you want to invite them, they tell you before they come, it's 2 million. They negotiate ministration the way a secular musician negotiates performance. Because to him, it's about performance. He doesn't need to hear anything from heaven. He has external sound that produces the level of rhythm that he's looking for. But a man of the presence, his sound comes from his spirit. Civilizations being bettered. This is angelic intelligence. And the reason is because these beings already knew the mystery of worship from heaven. They knew it. They ministered to God in the presence of God. So they understood worship. So they came to create it artificially. And the idea is to distract men from God to themselves. If you go further, you will see yet more. And Zillah, she bade to Bakeh. an instructor of every artificial in brass. At this time, the only thing the descendant of Adam knew was prayer. Meanwhile, see how far they had gone in darkness. See how far they had gone. So why these ones were pioneering altars? These ones were betting civilizations. Because the angels wanted to create a government on the face of the earth that can rebel against the government of God. I will tell you why I'm showing you this, because there are two kinds of warfare you will fight. There is the internal warfare and there is the external warfare. The internal warfare is a product of seduction. You will not see a demon appear to you, but it will make you a slave of your world through appetite, all kinds of lust that these systems they create provokes in your soul. So there is a level of deliverance that can only come as a man is transformed. And there's another deliverance that comes when spirits are cast out. The transformation kind of deliverance is the hardest form of deliverance. God took them out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt, but Egypt was in their heart. That one is not casting of demons. That one is a permeation of intelligent civilizations that were created by spirits. So when you look at the foundation of Egypt, it was darkness. When God came to destroy Egypt, he didn't deal with Pharaoh. The day Israel left Egypt was the day God judged the gods of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, he said, "Tonight I will descend and I will judge the gods of Egypt." You can be in Calabar and you will think what is happening is a coincidence. You don't know that spirits are deliberate architectures creating the civilization over this city. So that a point will come, you wake up one day and discover you have become a slave. When handsets came out, we thought handsets was for communication. Meanwhile, in the realm of God, we should communicate at the frequency of thought. The more we journey in civilization, the farther away we get from God. Have you been there when you called somebody and they said, "I was just thinking about you"? Have you had that experience? The ideal thing is for you to, you should be able to transfer information to that person and they will know what you want. But when they brought handsets, we thought it was going to make communication easy. Today we now discover that the least purpose of handsets is communication. Handsets has actually become a gate of enslaving a generation. So everybody wakes up in the morning to the phone. Some people don't even make call once in 2 weeks with their phone. The phone now is a means of accessing videos and contents that are not of God on the internet. Because when they wanted to promulgate sex, the only way they could do it was through the internet. And they didn't know how they would do it. So the first thing they did was to put handsets in all your hands. So that when they want to project sex, they can project pornography once, and 2 billion people will see it in 5 minutes. Are these platforms useful? Yes. But they are useful only to the man that understands that this is the ground of warfare. This is why we bombard the internet only with gospel. There are 3 kinds of people on the internet. There is the unspiritual and uninformed. That's the victim of the internet. The unspiritual and the uninformed is the victim of the internet. Everything they dump on the internet falls on that kind of person. But there is the spiritual, yet uninformed, that is on the internet. He prays, he fasts, but he doesn't know that the internet is a warfare ground. He doesn't know that it's a global warfare ground. So even though he's spiritual, he goes and fasts for 7 days, and he comes to Facebook and he diffuses in 30 minutes. Is he spiritual? Yes. But he's not informed, so he doesn't come to the internet with his guard. He thinks the internet is a place of entertainment. So the internet can water down his fasting of 7 days in 30 minutes. Spiritual, uninformed. First, unspiritual, uninformed. They are just there. They are dumping everything on their head. TikTok, they come. They watch all kinds of pornography. They jump to Instagram. They jump to Facebook. And when they finish seeing all the garbage, the next thing they want to do is to call their girlfriend. Where are you? Or to call their boyfriend. You've not called me for 1 month. You don't know I'm lonely. They didn't know that they opened their soul to the internet and they manipulated their actions from there. Unspiritual, uninformed. And then there is spiritual yet uninformed. How can you fast dry 7 days and the energy you build from fasting is diffused in 30 minutes? Because you are not informed. But there is the spiritual and the informed from the internet. Who comes only to the internet for business because he knows it's a warfare platform. There are many Christians today, if they buy a new suit and a new watch, it must appear on Facebook. It's their gallery. They are eating in an eatery. It's on Facebook. That's all they do with Facebook. But when you see a spiritual man, don't enter his page. Don't enter his wall. If you enter there, you will begin fasting from there. If you enter there, you will begin to speak in tongues because he has choked it with spiritual content. Everybody that opens to it instantly, the content begins to attack the person. Judge the person and transform the person. As I'm talking to you now, it's streaming on my page. That's all you will see there. You will not see me there because I went to Mozambique. I will now put a picture on my phone. We are spiritual and we are informed. Because we know that civilizations were created to enslave men. It's the architecture of fallen angels. They have the wisdom that built the heaven. In Job 38 verse 7, they say, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? That's why I told you, he said, when the sons of God shouted for joy, is the same word for sons of God that was used in Job chapter 1 verse 6. That's why I told you they are not men. Because when the foundation of the earth was created, God himself was asking man, where were you? That means man was not there. The sons of God that sang for joy were the angelic beings. These were the same sons of God because they saw the way the earth was created. They now come to create another kind of earth. But the new earth they create is on the media. The new earth they create is in the family. The new earth they create is in the academia. The new earth they create is in the economy. The new earth they create is in the government. So they create institutions where they can create their world in. So when Jesus said, go into all the worlds, he wasn't referring to the physical earth. He was referring to the new earth that these angels have created. Go into all the cosmos and disciple them because there are many uninformed and unspiritual sheep that are there. And many sheep of mine that are not in this fold must come back. So warfare is not just, first of all, casting out demons. It's very intelligent. When Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh, Lord, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, he was referring to the angels that create systems in the visible world. Remember, Paul had spoken about demons before. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3 to verse 5, he said, casting down imagination and every high standing thing that opposes, bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ. Those ones are within. He said, you cast them down. But when it came to territorial matter, he said, it's war. You will fight to be able to stand. Because when these beings come, they will come to make you a slave. It was the same Paul that said, whoever you yield yourself, servant to obey, the servant of whom you are, whom you have obeyed. Because he knows that there are many gods in this world looking for allegiances. They came from Zion, corrupt, past. 2 kinds of warfare. The warfare within, which is the hardest. When I talk about the warfare within, then I'll talk about the warfare without. The warfare within are built into you by the civilization around you. It said we wrestle against principalities. What does that mean? It means first in rank. So they are the ones that come into the territory first. It's a concerted intelligence. When the principalities come into Calabar, they don't just go and start threatening people. They will first of all study the people in Calabar. And then maybe they discover there are many people that are prophetic in Calabar. And then they discover there are many people that are courageous in Calabar. So from their census and statistics in Calabar, they are prophetic people that have high-level discernment into the spirit, and there are warriors that can battle. So they split them into two quadrants. The prophetic people will be attacked with lust. So what they will do in Calabar is that every kind of internet activity must carry a seductive thing on it. So if they want to advertise razor blade in Calabar, it will be a man with pants. How does razor do with a naked man with pants? They have studied the demographic of Calabar. Every young lady who is in the university, after 3 weeks, they attack her with lust. And so the young lady will be on the street everywhere. You're close from work, you are driving home. The problem is that you are prophetic. And your spiritual senses are very high. And then you turn, you see a lady on this path with pants. You turn on this path, you see a lady with bomb shot. You turn on this path, and then they keep combating you with that sight for 1 year. After a while, they will stop and say, I want to eat at this eatery. It's not eatery you are going for. Even you know what was dragging you there. Because you will become what you see. It's the law of the spirit. And the reason he's doing that is because he knows that what? There are many prophetic people in Calabar. And prophets are slaves of their sight. A prophet can enter a meeting tired. The moment he stands up and God says, there's somebody on the left, her name is Martha. The guy will become a lion. He's a slave of what he sees and what he hears. How about the men of faith? They are aggressive. So their problem is pride. So when the prince wants to, the principality wants to enslave them, he will bring competition. They can even be in touch. And because one guy comes and talks, and people fall under the power. That month, everybody who comes on the altar wants people to fall down. And then an unspoken competition is awakened in their heart. So people who should be brethren now begin to fight themselves. And then that competition deteriorates into backbiting. Because you want to rubbish the guy that everybody is now clapping for. You go about and say, is it that one? Is that not the one that is talking against Becca that we don't know what you are doing? In fact, I heard when he said that the president didn't know anything. The president didn't know anything. Before you know, one round, that Amos said the president didn't know anything. And then bitterness, anger, malice, all kinds of battle is activated. When the principality finishes his job, he creates an atmosphere. Either an atmosphere of lust, an atmosphere of immorality, an atmosphere of competition, an atmosphere of hatred, an atmosphere of bitterness. But by all means, his job will only end when he has created an atmosphere. So when we war against principalities, the battle is not, I cast you out. No. When we war against principalities, the way we do it is that we decide to walk in love. So even if they tell you, Matthew spoke against you, the person is now hoping, and the principality is hoping, that you will go and start fighting Matthew. You will now come to the public where everybody is, and you will hug Matthew and say, I love you. The moment you do that, you have choked the atmosphere. Even if Matthew said it, Matthew too will become weak. They told you, Nathaniel gossiped you. The next thing, you go and load Nathaniel 5,000 naira recharge card. Nathaniel now calls you and say, why did you send me a recharge card? You say, I just thought about you. And God said, you are a very good person. I love you so much. Nathaniel will come to your house in the morning and say, I'm sorry. You know that thing I said against you is what bitterness. When you do that continually, what you do is that you disarm the principality. If we can disarm principality, every other one becomes weak. The activity of the power is dependent on the victory of the principality. So when we talk unity of the body, we are not just talking coexistence. We are actually dealing with the highest level of warfare. If we allow the principality to create the atmosphere, then there is a problem. I know you hate me. I know you are envious of me. But on your birthday, I give you a gift of a towel. I know. On your wedding, I'll be your best man. And I will pay for my suit. I'm not dealing with you. I'm dealing with the principality. So when you show love to your brother, regardless of what he or she does to you, you are fighting a principality. That's why when they tell you they are backbiting, they are lying against you, don't be bitter. The idea is to allow bitterness to enter your heart. The warfare is not with the person. The warfare is with your heart. If bitterness enters, the principality has created a throne in your heart. After a while, the power will come and sit on that throne. So when we forgive, we are not doing the people a favor. We are doing ourselves a favor. It's the dynamics of internal warfare. I didn't know internal warfare until God began to help me. Because internal warfare is not for everybody. It's for those who are becoming relevant. Pastor Chris said, nobody spoke against him until he became popular. The day you begin to rise, that's the day you understand the warfare that is with you. Many people fail. And when you fail in this warfare, you expose the system to attack. Because the devil will only always enter at the weakest chain. They accuse you, they molest you, they still go about, paint you wrong, and they still win. The sentiment of men, quiet. You are not fighting with them. The day you join them to try to say, I am right, they are wrong. You have created an atmosphere. You just help the principality to finish the assignment. And the principality will come and say, thank you for helping me. And then he will check out. And then the powers will come. What the powers do is to create addictions that you can't break. So you lied against the brother. You thought it was just one lie. After a while, lie will become your habit. If you try to stop, you can't forget. A power has come. So a power is now holding you captive. Because when the principality was working, you cooperated with it. This is what we call the mystery of the high places. What high places do is that when you pass there, they summon you to worship. So it is the powers that will begin to worship demons, devils. A power will make a pastor become a liar. A power will make a pastor become a fornicator. Because when the principality was showing him the commodities, he didn't uproot it from his heart. He said, no, I'm a strong man. Come on, we don't fall. Who doesn't fall? You don't understand the falling man. You don't fall. You allow these things to take a root and a hold of you. When the power comes, it will take more than a deliverance service. Because what the power does is that it makes it a habit. It becomes an addiction. There are many people here who are not happy until they have gossiped somebody. When they now gossip, that's the only time they derive pleasure. There are many people who are not happy until somebody is pulled down. They are not laboring to go up. Oh. No. They are like crabs. The moment you start going up, all of them will hang on you and pull you down. When you come down, they say, let all of us stay here. That's when they have peace. All of us will be here. Yes, we are here. When you start rising, they come on the internet and start preaching all kinds of doctrine. Fake doctrines to kill you and to weaken your faith. Some people will come and say, everybody who is running, when God is not pushing them, they will soon fall. Can you make progress if God doesn't advance you in this kingdom? Is it possible? They don't know that they have become slaves of powers. They think they are helping the body of Christ. It's a lie.
when they posted that picture and wrote what they wrote, they had you in mind. You were the one they were sending message to, but they were using Facebook to send a message to you. It's the manipulation of powers. So there are many Christians today who are slaves. They don't even know. So when we talk deliverance, it's beyond get out. Get out is the least. A man who is walking under a power, we need renewal of mind. When a principality is engaging you, you walk in love. But when you are dealing with a power, what you need is renewal of mind. Because an addiction has entered. What you need is spiritual rehabilitation. So when we pray for you in a service like this, the Holy Ghost will give you an instruction off your phone for 1 month. Because he wants to break an addiction. You are too dependent on your phone. And so long as your phone is in your hand, your phone is your grave. He knows. The reason God takes people through the wilderness most of the time is to break the forces of powers. So he takes them to a place where they can't hold on to anything. They try everything, it fails. And then they can walk through the fire. And the fire will refine them. When you deal with powers and you fail, then the rulers of darkness will come. At that time, you are no longer just a slave. You become an agent. There are many agents of the devil in church today. And there are many of them on the streets. There are many people who are sleeping around. They are not even doing it for money. A harlot is better than them. A harlot sleeps around to survive. There are many people, the only kind of people they want to sleep with are pastors. The moment you are on fire, they will make sure they sleep with you. If they don't, they are not happy. It doesn't even matter if you are married. With this ring that we carry about to tell everybody, I am taking, they don't care. Because they have become agents. When they lie down, they are sleeping. It's you they are dreaming of. They wake up, they will call you 30 times in 1 week. If you don't pick, they are not offended. Because they are on a mission. Even if they come to your house, you say, get out of my house. They will not be offended. The moment they get home, they will send you a message. Please don't be angry. I just thought about you and I say I should come and greet you. Nothing you do to them will offend them. The reason is because they are on a mission. Those ones are not just addicted. They have become agents. The word rulers is the word magistrate. What it means is setters of laws, creators of spiritual legislations. So when they pass a law to you, not you now because you are a prophet, they will tell you, until that sister goes down, you can't stop. You are the one accusing her. You are the one lying against her. You are the one rubbishing her name. You are doing everything. Until she goes down, you can't rest. Because you have become an agent. At that point, it's a ruler of darkness that is leading you. I know some ladies have slept with 20 pastors. I'm not saying men. It's not boyfriend, girlfriend. 20 pastors. When you succeed with a ruler of darkness, then spiritual wickedness comes. What spiritual wickedness do is that now you have served your 10, your J10, because you are actually a prisoner. Then they now afflict you with a disease. They will go to the hospital and do MRI tests, CT scan, all the tests in the world they do it, they won't find anything. Because that one is your inheritance that is given to you. Because wickedness cannot do anything good. Even what they call good is wickedness. So now that you have successfully served, you have brought down 15 pastors, you have destroyed 20 families, you have ended 7 businesses, receive your reward. And then your reward is cancer. Your reward is diabetes. Your reward is barrenness. You now get married, you'll see them running from one prophet to another prophet, from one prayer house to another prayer house. When you ask them, when you were 23, what were you doing? They'll say, They will now start crying. They will cry for 1 hour first before they talk. Because when they were 23, they were agents of darkness. So the barrenness is not a disease. It's their reward from the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The cancer is not a disease. It's a reward from spiritual wickedness. Because what they don't know is that these beings will keep you a slave forever. The first thing God will do, because most of you are young, so you are still at the level of principalities. They are engaging you in the dream. You go to sleep every day, you are having sex. There are some of you are still at the level of powers. You are at the level of gossip and malice. You are at the level of backbiting. The first thing the power of God will come on you this night to do is to break those strongholds. Because if it doesn't break, you may be a prophet, but you may end up a seducer of men. Because that prophetic power that is on you will make you very intelligent. You will know how to keep 6 girlfriends at the same time. You will know what to tell them even before they start talking. You will know how to manipulate all of them and impregnate 3 of them and give them money to commit abortion, and you will still manage everything. Meanwhile, you are choir director. And they don't know something is happening. You can manage it. When you look at one, you do like this. You look at another one, you smile. They think, all of them think they are the only one. So by the time you are 30, your ministry is finished. You were supposed to be an apostle, setting men on fire for God, but you are setting men on fire for the devil. So when you call a brother or a sister and you talk to her, she can't wait again or she sees you. When you tell her what you want to do the next day, the boutique you want to take her to, the eatery and the thing, when you finish talking, she will be sleeping and smiling. You have set her on fire. There are many brothers here. If you hear them make phone calls, the way their tongue is fluid, if they stand on the altar with that oil, any gospel they preach will market. But you see, they have walked obediently under principalities and powers so much that that oil has been perverted. So that oil only sets ladies on fire. The lady receives her salary and she carries the salary to come and give her boyfriend. She buys suits, Italian suits, tuxedo suits for her boyfriend. The lady who cannot even feed well or send anything to her mother. The lady has bought suits upon suits. Some have even built house for the men. And then you are wondering, what is this man saying? Meanwhile, there are certain apostles that have project for Jesus Christ. They have not been able to mobilize funds for that project. But this brother who is supposed to be a revivalist is using the powers in seduction. They have built a house for him. On Monday, one comes to wash clothes. On Tuesday, one comes to cook. On Wednesday, one comes to mop the house. And the other one is loading money in his account. And then when he wakes up in the morning, he says, I'm a king. He doesn't know that his destiny has been mortgaged. Powers that should build the kingdom of God is now building the kingdom of darkness. The guy is looking for money. The only thing he wants to build are clubs. And in the club, he has an administrator that grades ladies in different class. Some ladies are for bankers. Some are for politicians. That's the creativity that came to him. It's Juba. Or it's Tobacane. If you are under an addiction, you are in war. It's a warfare. If there is anything you can't stop yourself from, it's warfare. So instead of running around and saying, man of God, please help me, wake up and begin to fight. Paul said, sin shall no longer have dominion over me. He said, I beat my body and I bring it under subjection. So when that thing comes, I go on my knees. I will pray until the feeling dies. Because when I'm praying, I'm energizing the Holy Ghost. I know I'm feeling like having sex. But when that feeling comes, instead of me start crying, I go to my room. I lock the door. Shako, baka, tako, da. When I fire for a while, the whole motion of sin will go down. That's what it means to beat your body. I bring it under subjection. It's internal warfare. The spirit is manipulating me to talk against you. When I see you, I say I love you. In my room, I say I love you. 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 I will say it until, even when I want to say something against you, I will say I love you. It's a warfare. Sin shall no longer have dominion. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look upon the virgins. Sometimes I carry my phone. I say, is this Facebook? I uninstall. Is this Instagram? I uninstall. Is this WhatsApp? I uninstall. Most times when I'm uninstalling like that, the devil will now tell me, somebody may send a message. You were chatting with this prophet the other time. What if he sends a message? I say, I'd rather save my soul than build relationship with the prophet. I will uninstall it. If after 1 month it doesn't come back, so be it. Sometimes I discover my phone is getting too close to me. I now just carry it like this. I off it. And then I keep it. And then I'll say I'll carry it after 1 week. Sometimes I will just dump the phone. People will call you and say, you are not picking your call. All these men of God are so proud. It's not pride, sir. We are saving our soul. You don't know it's warfare. That's why you come. You say, I'm struggling with masturbation. They pray for you. The moment they finish praying, as you are leaving the prayer room, you are on TikTok. You are on Facebook and you are watching picture. And you think the addiction will end. No, it will not end. Because that warfare is not a demon. That warfare is spiritual intelligence wired into your soul structure by spiritual systems. There are times when I disconnect from all my friends. They are not my God. I off my phone for 1 month. They call, I don't pick. It's not disrespect. I'm saving my soul. I'm guarding my soul. I'm learning to beat my body. To bring it under subjection. Sometimes you wake up, it looks as if you don't see the like on Facebook, it's sickness. It's like cocaine. And then when it happens like that, if you want to even frustrate the devil, you're not going to give. You go to your sister's house and you leave the phone there. And then you stroll home. You know the next time you will go there will be 3 weeks later. The phone is not here. Let me die now. I'll tell, let me die. And then after 3 days, 4 days, you will not discover that that wire that connects you with that phone will cut. So after a while, you will even forget you have a phone. The day you go and bring it, you will discover there is a disconnection. If you want to survive this warfare, you will burn bridges. You will burn them. You will call some sisters and say, you are making me think evil. You will call some brothers and say, this is your care that you are showing, I don't understand it. Thank you, I don't need it. Because you know that the motion of sin has begun to rise. That's the first kind of battle you fight. They come and tell you, can you imagine what this brother said? You say, but that guy is a good man. The person will stop talking. Or they come and tell you, brother A said this. Really? Hi, let me call him. That thing he said is not good. I will now call him and say, Sister Martha, say you say this thing. Next time, if you slaughter Sister Martha, she will not come and gossip to you again. You just burnt the bridge of gossip. What? Matthew is here with me, and Matthew is telling me now, this is what you said. The next day, Matthew, why am I keeping quiet? Are you not the one that said he said it? Why are you doing like this? If they kill Matthew, he will never tell you again. The gossip will end in natural death. He will go and tell other gossipers, don't go near Mike. Don't go near Peter. The last time I went to tell him something to help him, he went and was embarrassing himself. He thought I was the one he was embarrassing. He can say what he wants. You have saved your soul. This is how we fight fallen angels. Because they are intelligent beings. They know your great-grandfather. They know your grandfather. They know your father. So they know what you can do. If Abraham lied, Isaac will lie. It's part of the DNA. Jacob will lie. They know. If Abraham loved fair women, Isaac will love fair women. Jacob must love fair women. So they will not waste time tempting Jacob with dark women. They know your great-grandfather. They know your ancestors. They have the data of your family. They know the things that brought your great-grandfather down. They tried the same thing on your grandfather. I brought him down. They tried the same thing on your father. I brought him down. So they know it must happen with you. Unless there is another law that powers you. That's why the Bible says, bear one another's burden. So you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's the law of love. It's the law of forbearance. If they tell you somebody spoke against you, tell you, oh, maybe I offended him by mistake. I know that person is a good person. Refuse to become a team building. And over time, you thought it was you, A and B, that is fighting. After a while, competition will become the spirit of that church. And nothing will be able to happen there again. Because as he's doing it to you, he's doing it to 10 other people. If you sit down and do a review, you'll be. The second kind of warfare is the external warfare. This is the kind of warfare where even babes can fight and win. You know, this first warfare is not for babes. I was hoping that when I come home, she too will start acting as Iron Lady. Then we will see who will bow in this house. Ah! I came home, I went to my library, I sat down and was reading a book, How to Be Led by the Spirit. When my wife walked in, I gathered myself, waiting to create a defense. She now knelt down. Gosh. The moment she knelt down, she disarmed me. I felt like Lucifer. She knows that battle even more than me. I got used to fame and glory. Ah! I see, for 3 weeks I was trying to please her. I didn't know how to act. See, I became her slave. Ah! I said, why? Because in this battle, it doesn't matter who is right or wrong. The idea is the atmosphere. The atmosphere. The principality is creating an atmosphere. Don't wait to say, it was right, I was wrong. Be wrong. Be wrong. Because if that atmosphere is created, you can give birth to your child and your child will be an imbecile. And then you are wondering, how? There's no imbecile in our family. You didn't know when the principality came. It created an atmosphere that opened a gate to the womb of your wife. Who is right or wrong is not a factor. In fact, the person who is right is the one who made peace. I say it's not for babes. Oh, I didn't know how proud I was. So nowadays, when something happens, I want to take the responsibility of saying sorry first. And then sometimes I say, the Lord, this thing we are doing, the Lord is involved. So let's try as much. You know, this is how, I'm sorry, so that's how it is. You think you know Jesus. Enter warfare, then you understand the law of Christ. Say, bear ye one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2. Fulfill the law of Christ. That's when you discover the apostle is a chief prince. He has become a puppet in the hand of the devil. This is why many pastors are setting the world on fire, but their family is dying. Because they don't understand internal warfare. What you take just, I'm sorry, they are forming servant of Jesus. Your wife is not your secretary. So they set the world on fire. Their children are rogues and armed robbers. Because they opened the gate into their family. And then you ask, what is the problem? It's nothing. Nothing. Internal warfare. The dynamics is hard. When a principality is fighting you, walk in love. That's the atmosphere. When a power is fighting you, renew your mind. Meditate on the word of God day and night. He said, how shall the young man keep his ways? By taking heed of thy word. Thy word have I put in my heart, that I shall not sin against you. Be not conformed to this word. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's called metamorpho. It's not I bind you, I cast you. No, it's like a virus. He wants to take the shape of your white blood cell and destroy your body soldiers. When a spiritual wickedness is fighting you, yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Anything the Holy Ghost says, do it quickly. The Holy Ghost can come and say, don't eat today. Yes, Lord. The Holy Ghost can come and say, give this person the money in your pocket quickly. Because what he's doing is that he's breaking the high places in your heart. Because the mystery of the high places is that they command worship. So maybe it's your pride that is commanding that worship. So you go somewhere, the Holy Ghost says, sit at the back. You say, but I'm the president. He says, no, sit at the back. You come somewhere, say, sweep the floor. Sweep quickly. They say, fast today, fast. Give all the money in your pocket, give it. Because maybe it's selfishness that prince is building the law on. So when you are dealing with a spiritual wickedness, quickly yield to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Ghost will lead you out of that puzzle and disconnect it and break it off your life. A point will come when the magistrate want to hold you. There will be no place to hold you anymore. You become slippery like a fish. And when a spiritual wickedness is fighting you, get support, synergy. That's why it says, if anyone sick among you, take him to the elders. Let them anoint him. And he said, the prayer of faith will heal that person and raise him from the bed. That's how you fight that battle. But there is also the external battle. The external battle is where we shine. You know, he said, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Why am I emphasizing this so much? Hope, there are no people here with unforgiveness. Wait a minute. I think there are backbiters here. I'm sensing now that they are keepers of malice in this place. I'm seeing why the Holy Ghost is emphasizing it. Bow down and repent. Repent. Repent for 5 minutes. Forgive that person. Remove him from your heart. The person is not worth the struggle, the pain, the sorrow. Remove the person from your heart. Most of you are already walking in bitterness. That's why many great things can happen in your life. Offload it, offload it, offload it now. That person you are seeing as your opponent, next time when you have the opportunity, praise the person so much. When you praise the person, after a while, that competitive spirit will die. Hey,
Hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey.
We save you from sudden sickness. The reason people just wake up, and since you are praying and people are not being healed, is because of the arrows of unforgiveness. This thing I'm showing you is the reason why some people get married and they just give birth to strange children. A child wakes up, they say it's autism. He wakes up, he just gives birth, says it's an imbecile. You don't know what's going on. You open gates into your heart. And you didn't know that spiritual wickedness in heavenly places were coming. This is why many ministries don't go anywhere. They end up, they preach from January to December. It's people they are preaching. When they talk as if they are talking in mysteries, it's a lie. It's somebody they are talking about. And when they talk about people, that's when they are happy. Meanwhile, the people they are talking to know the person they are talking about. And they call it message inspired from God. The ministry remains at a point. They don't go anywhere. Too many burden about people. They carry it on their shoulder. And when they say they want to preach the gospel, 99% of the message is I. Because it was always about competition, so they see themselves as superstar. Even Jesus cannot be seen in the message. It can destroy everything and anything. And you are young people. Imagine if somebody of 19 years is keeping malice with 5 people. Somebody of 17 years has spoken against 20 authorities. Somebody of 15 years is already sowing seeds of discord among ministers, not even normal friends. He tells this pastor, this one, tells this prophet, this one, and relationship that should profit the kingdom is damaged. Hope you know the Bible said it was because of your mark that Paul and Barnabas parted ways. Imagine the exploit that Paul and Barnabas were making. But Joma came and divided them. Many great ministers working together, great ministries working together that would have shaken this world. Most times when you check, it's one person that the devil sends, he divides it. Because of these things we are talking about. The second type of warfare is external warfare. Those ones are orchestrated by demons. By demons. The way we fight that warfare is by giving commands. Because those ones are external things coming to destroy us. We don't talk to God about it necessarily. The reason is because the weapons for those warfare were handed to us on the strength of the finished works of Christ. So the blood is a weapon. The cross is a weapon. The resurrection is a weapon. The name of Jesus is a weapon. Most of the things we talk to God about, God doesn't have any business hearing them. There are things we should address, picking one of the many weapons we have in our quiver. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, it said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So the word of God is a weapon. The devil goes to manipulate something and your business wants to fail. The devil goes to manipulate something and something around you wants to fail. You don't talk to God about it. You sustain it with the weapons you have. He said, "They shall bless the works of my hands. And I shall eat the good of the land. And so everything I lay my hands to do shall prosper. Therefore, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command this business, begin to prosper. And you will watch and see. The business will rise up. You will be amazed that even the business has ears." Why is that so? Everything he doeth, it shall prosper. The righteous,
Everything he doeth, he shall prosper.
I can't do any business and it fails. If it begins to fail, I go into my quiver and I pick the word of God. And then I begin to fire it as arrows. As arrows. As arrows. And after a while, the words I shoot at the business begin to give life to the business. And then sometimes, I'm using the word of God, it's not working. I now go back to my quiver and I take the blood. There's no testimony against the blood. For he entered into the tabernacle of heaven once and for all to procure for me an eternal salvation. By the blood, I am more than a conqueror. And instantly, the devil will know. Because the testimony of the blood provokes the verdict of the court of heaven. When Abel died, his blood didn't talk to Cain. His blood spoke to God in heaven. He said, the voice of the blood of thy brother have ascended to me in heaven. So when we invoke the blood of Jesus, we are summoning verdicts from Zion. There is no power in this universe that can stand against it. Sometimes when the battle is becoming fierce, all you need to do is to go and buy bread and buy your wine and said, after this manner, he took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body. Do it in memory of me. And he said, when the supper was ended, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is poured out for you and for all. As you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death. Thank you, Father, because this has become your blood and your body. As I take it now, my body is not broken and the blood speaks for me. Because in doing this, I proclaim your death. And you are taking communion every day. As you are taking communion every day, you are just proclaiming the death of God. After a while, the death of cross will rise and bring judgment in your favor. You are not even praying. You are just using your weapon. Because he says, as often as ye do this, ye proclaim the Lord's death. And what is the Lord's death? The Lord's death is the victory over devils. It's a having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So when I take the cup and take the body, what I'm doing is that I'm provoking the verdict of what happened in Hades. The same power that destroyed every principality and power is what I'm provoking. Is there a crisis in your life that doesn't want to end? You have spoken the word of God, it didn't work. You prayed, you fasted, it didn't work. Just go to the communion table. As you proclaim the Lord's death, as you proclaim the Lord's death, after a while, that demon will remember what happened when Jesus went to hell. And in hell, he spoiled principalities and powers. The demon will run on his own accord. And then when it doesn't work, then you carry the name of Jesus. He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein, they are saved. So I don't know the mystery behind it. I don't know the legality behind it. But what I know is that I come in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ. And so in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. We fight external battles by giving commands. So a man who doesn't know how to give command will suffer. He has ordained you a king and a priest unto God. And he said, where the word of the king is, there is power. If you know that you are a commander, you will stop speaking carelessly. I told them yesterday in Ghana, I said, the nobles have gravity. We don't talk anyhow. We don't dress anyhow. When we come, we know we are men in authority. A king doesn't need to shout to make the difference. You get out, you get in, and it's done. But it's something you must have to build into yourself consciously. I know I'm a king. All this funny African doctrine that they try to make people look weak, helpless, it doesn't get to me one bit. You want to make impact, they say, no, you are too young, wait first. You are over 30 years, they say, wait first. The time you will wake up, you will be 70 years old. And then you will want to make impact. But even your backbone will tell you, time is over. He said, the work that the Father has committed to me to do, even the work that I must do, He said, the work that the Father has given to me to finish, the same work that I do. Jesus started and finished ministry at the age of 33. 33 years old, the assignment was over. At the age of 17, David was already challenging Goliath. You are 30. You say, I'm hoping that in the next 5 years, no, a demon is manipulating you. You think there is time. No. They say, look at the field. It is white. The harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. So many people need to begin to carry their quiver and say, I am the voice for this generation. So when you go to the place of prayer, you are praying like somebody who is going to take Mexico. You are not praying like somebody hoping that one day it go better. No. When we go to pray, thank you, Father. You have given us all power. The nations are waiting for us, and we are stepping out to manifest your glory. The nations receive us because we are king and we are priest. Everywhere we go, we bring your kingdom. We bring your government. Some of us, they told me that many places, the ground is hard. I said, what do you mean by hard? Is the ground harder than the cross? Well, I don't know if the ground is hard, but I'm not coming in my name. If I was coming in my name, I would have contemplated. I'm coming in the name of the Lord. And I don't think Jesus notices a hard ground. If the river is too deep, he walks on it. He doesn't need to part it. So Jesus doesn't need a boat. No matter what the challenge is, Jesus will always find a way. So sometimes I come to a place, I just tell story. When I finish telling story, I stand like this. I say, Lord Jesus, now anoint 7 people. And the hard ground will open. I've been preaching back to back for more than 3 weeks. More than 3 weeks. And I'm not only preaching in one place. 4 weeks ago, I started my tour from Uyo. I left Uyo, came to Calabar. We went to Transcorp Hilton in Calabar. I finished, returned to Abuja. Left Abuja, went back to Uyo. I left. In fact, when I came to Uyo 4 weeks ago, my whole body was aching. I told my body, you can't be sick. Behave yourself. I finished preaching. I returned to Owerri. I left Owerri. I went to Port Harcourt. I returned to Abuja. 3 weeks ago, I was in Onitsha on Monday. Ministered Monday to Wednesday. On Wednesday morning, I returned to Abuja. Thursday, I was in Port Harcourt. Ministered Port Harcourt Friday, Saturday. Thursday, Friday. Saturday, I was on my way to Nsukka. Ministered in Nsukka Saturday, Sunday. I returned to Makurdi. Saw my project supervisor and returned to Abuja on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I was on my way to Ghana. I was in Ghana ministering back to back to back until I returned from Ghana yesterday. My flight landed 1 p.m. I entered the next flight, 1:50 for Calabar. Because I know that the power that I have is in the blood, is in the cross, is in the word, and is in the name of Jesus. If I try the word and it's not working, I'll come into the name. If I try the name, it's not working, I go to the cross. If I try the cross, it's not working, I come to the blood. By all means, one must walk. That is what you have. So spiritual warfare is built, first of all, on understanding. If you don't have this understanding, no matter how you labor, you will think the power of prayer is in shouting. Or in praying for long. Praying for long is good. You build intimacy. But if you think the answer came because you pray for long, you are like the Pharisees. Jesus said they took pride in praying for long. When we pray for long, we are loving God. Jesus never took long to address any matter. Out. Out. Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came back to life. Get out. The demon left. That was how he functioned. He walked by commands. 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 Somebody is stepping into the realm of commanding. Somebody is stepping into the realm of commanding. Because understanding have come. You will refuse demons using you as their agents. When next they came with malice, you say, I'm not part of it. He had a problem. Brother A had a problem with Brother B, and he came to tell you who is Brother C, and is expecting that because he has a problem with Brother B, you too should have problem. tell him, yeah, I'll try to settle you. If it doesn't work, don't inherit anybody's problem. Keep your soul pure. And then when next there is a challenge, carry with you words. And you'll be shocked. He said they went from place to place preaching the word. And he said the Lord, bearing testimony to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. So the power of the Holy Spirit is predicated upon your revelation and utilization of either the word, the cross, the blood, or the name. When you invoke the blood, the cross, the name, or the word, the Holy Ghost goes to work. You can't command the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Ghost came to bear witness of the word. So every time the word goes forth, the Holy Ghost moves to action. Because he came to prove that the word is true. Every time the name of Jesus is released, the Holy Ghost goes to action. Because he came to validate that name. That's why he's called the witness. So when you are using the name of Jesus or the word, the Holy Ghost is the one fighting to keep the jealousy of that name. It's not even you. That time the battle have left you. It's between the Holy Ghost now and any force that wants to stand. And the goal of the Holy Ghost is one, to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So when the name of Jesus is proclaimed, the Holy Ghost goes to work. It's not about you, it's about the name. When the word of God goes forth, the Holy Ghost goes to work. It's not about you, it's about the word. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power. Because when the gospel goes forth, the Holy Ghost goes to work. Do we release the power of God now? You see what preachers believe in that they make exploit. You are looking at the person. You say, this guy fasting, don't kill this guy. Yo. There are many people who are fasted to death. If you don't have understanding, fasting will profit you nothing. There are many people who have prayed themselves into poverty and obscurity, having no impact in the kingdom because there's no understanding. The power is in your understanding and the right administration of spiritual verities. So, when we come for a warfare class, the first thing we want to do is to open people's eyes. Listen. The first issue we will deal with are the internal matters. There are many of you here that are carrying weights of unforgiveness. Some of you are carrying weights of bitterness. Some of you, your mouth has become a channel of gossip and backbiting. No matter what we do in this service, we can't help you. I want to give an open door for the first category. Is this time working? No, I maybe an angel have stopped that time, but me, I'm about to round up. I want to give you an opportunity to come and hold the horns of the altar. There are many people you need to let go from your heart. There are many things you need God to purge you from. Isaiah was a national prophet, but he couldn't prophesy the prophecy of his destiny. He was a messianic prophet, but he never prophesied about Jesus because his tongue was evil. So you can be a minister. I'm not talking to young believers. I'm talking to everybody. Some of us is anger. Some of us is hatred. Some of us is malice. Some of us is backbiting. Some of us is bitterness. You want to break away from principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Come and hold on to the altar. That will happen for just 2 minutes. You want to ask God to help you purge? Forget the protocols, don't worry. Just allow them to make contact with the altar. We are prophesying and shouting everywhere. Revival is coming. Revival is coming. Even if God releases that spirit, we will choke it. The revival is not trapped because it's prophesied. The revival is trapped because it said they were in the upper room in one accord. Today I see many young people, they say they are apologists, and they come online writing nonsense. It's all about sarcasm. Sarcastic write-up. Arrogant, proud write-up. Some people wake up and they make funny jests of things they don't even understand. Because we have cheap platforms. If you can't preach Christ and His kingdom, shut up. You have nothing to say to a generation. Funny young people have not proven anything in their lives. The little fellowship they have, they are struggling with it. But they come on the internet and every day from morning to night, is sarcasm. And they think they are helping anybody. You are here. You have slandered people with your words. It's time to hold the altar. Somebody called it spiritual cannibalism. Eating ourselves up every day. Give somebody microphone. Lead prayer for 7 minutes. And in 7 minutes, his people there, he start talking about. He can't even pray for 7 minutes without talking about somebody. And it's always in a derogatory note. And then we wake up and say, we are prophesying revival. Which revival? A house divided against itself shall not stand. Some of us, our tongue need to be purged. Listen, I didn't need to do anything. In the morning, the power of God was all over the place. All it takes for me is to give a commandment. This place will be on fire. But if you carry this garbage in your heart, I tell you, you will not amount to anything in this kingdom. Some of you, gossip have become your habit. Tell the Lord to purge your tongue. Some of us, it's bitterness. Some of us, it's envy. We don't have a problem that we are not doing anything. But the moment our brother begins to prosper, it has become, we can't sleep anymore. It's an evil heart. Tell the Lord to renew your mind. Like fire, like the rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like the rain, let it fall. Like fire, like the rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like the rain, let it fall. You know, this looked like the basics of spiritual warfare, but this is the hardest part. You can gather people and begin to talk legislation, litigation, make decrees, make decrees. It will not work. until we know these ones and have victory. The purity of the first generations. I read the story how God led W.F. Kumuye to start the Deeper Life Bible Fellowship. He was under, what did they call this now? Now, the Azusa Street Revival, there's a church that emanated from there, I've forgotten the name now. So he was under that ministry until God told him to start the Bible, the Deeper Life Bible Study Fellow Group. And they didn't have a place. And he met his friend, E.A. Adeboye. And E.A. Adeboye went and told the general overseer of Redeem. And they were doing Bible study primarily at Redeem Camp. Today, is jealousy, envy that has littered everywhere. How can a Christian be hoping that another Christian will fail? And he can't even hold it in his mind. He comes and writes parables on Facebook, hoping that the other Christian will fail. Before we command demons, we must refuse to be their slaves. There are some of you out there watching that the Lord is still beckoning your heart to come here. I'm about to pray for these people. You don't just become by praying or fasting for 7 days. I did all of it. I know what I'm telling you. The first basis by which God promotes men is the posture of their heart. Before God considers your action, He checks your motive. When people see what God is doing with some young people, they think it's by praying and by talking bogus things. Every man God raises, He has judged his heart. Let it fall like fire, like the rain. Let your glory fall like fire, like the rain. Let it fall
like fire, like the rain. Let your glory fall like fire, like the rain. Let it fall like fire, like the rain. Let your glory fall like fire, like the rain. Let it fall like fire,
like fire, like the rain. Let your glory fall like fire, like the rain. Let it fall.
Yeah. As you are praying, I'm making entreaties to God. I want to ask the Lord to release the purifying dimension of His Spirit upon you. Please, just lower the keyboard a bit. Please hear me. There is a purifying dimension of the Holy Spirit. There's a purging dimension of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask the Lord to release that purging dimension of His Spirit upon you. As I pray, some of you will start crying. You won't know why. Some of you will be overwhelmed. God will knock you out. Because sometimes Adam has to sleep for God to remove a rib from his heart. Father, I lift these ones to you as an offering. Men and women,
that have responded in faith and in brokenness. Now, pour out the fire that purifies upon them. The fire that transforms. Pour it upon them. If I be a revivalist, if it be an inheritance that I have with God, now touch. Some of you will wail, you will cry aloud. Touch. Yes. The Lord is already walking. The Lord is walking. The fire of the Spirit, the coals of fire. I break the spirit of malice, competitions, bitterness. I break that spirit of gossip and backbiting. That hold is broken. And I do double and oh. Ojo do double and oh. Oh, he mean the aquatic beat. And I do double and oh. Ojo do double and oh. Oh, he mean the aquatic beat. And I do double and oh. And I do double and oh. Oh, he mean the Some of you will even slip off. God. In the name of Jesus, can I tell you what I'm saying? God is truly in a rush to hand over things to our generation. I'm telling you. God is really, really, there's an urgency in the spirit. See, as they are crying and repenting before the Lord, I'm seeing something that looks like a garment of fire. Please, stop playing. Just the keyboard. Okay, you play. I'm seeing something that looks like a garment of fire, and some of them are already being clothed. You will naturally think that they should go through process of transformation and all of that. I'm seeing people already making contact with literal fire in the spirit. Stop playing now. I don't want it to look as if it's an emotional thing. I'll soon pray for the sick. What I have said, Father, I utter it as a witness in this auditorium. That reality may come here. Everyone that you are clothing with a new garment of fire, both those in front of the altar and those in the congregation, Lord, do a quick work now. Let the garment begin to rest upon them. Let it begin to rest upon them. Let it begin to rest upon them. Let it begin to rest upon them. Touch! Ushers, it's time to begin to walk. I'm seeing it get brutal in the spirit. I heighten that intensity by the spirit. Touch! You didn't only come to make peace with God. Ordinations come upon you. Ordinations, ordinations. ordinations beckon.
Please help them quickly so they don't step on others. I don't want anybody to be injured.
Ordinations.
Those of you in the congregation, please stretch your hands towards me. Such as I have. Those of you online, stretch your hands towards your device. Such as I have, I give to you. Now, voices arise from among you. Some of you will step into a dimension of speed. Some of you will step into a dimension of authority. Some of you will step into a dimension of favor. In the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, touch! I command chains to begin to break. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight and breaks off those powers and those seductions of princes. The Lord gives you freedom and liberty by His Spirit. Liberty. Your tongue will only bless. Those dimensions of evil ceases from your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Those of you who can go back and let me pray for the sick now. As you go back, whatever the Holy Ghost tells you to do, do quickly. That's the counsel I will leave with you. The dimension I wanted to go, I was restrained. But as you go back, whatever the Holy Ghost tells you to do, please do quickly. Them. demons of afflictions, demons of infirmities, in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, be bound. Be bound. I command you now, get out of their bodies. I command the yoke of sickness be broken. Ears be healed. Eyes be healed. Pains go. If you couldn't walk, you had pain on your back, you have pain in your knees, stand up. You are healed in the name of Jesus. I command every yoke of infirmity, every growth in your body that is not of God, dematerialize now.